Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is staging server best practices and troubleshooting common problems. Today's presenters are Musa Abraham, Salman Khan, and Roy Lung. Musa is a software engineer on the WebSphere Commerce Support Team. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce Support Team since 2008, specializing in staging and workspace components. He was also part of the DB2 development infrastructure team, specializing in Unix scripting and automation. He graduated with honors from York University, Canada, with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering. Salman is a support analyst on the WebSphere Commerce Support Team. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce Support Team since 2009 and specializes in the install and staging components. He was also a member of the Rational Common Desktop install team at IBM, where he worked on customizing the installation mechanism for Rational products. He graduated from York University with a specialized honors in computer science in 2009. Roy is a software engineer at the IBM Toronto Lab, Canada. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce Support Team since 2006 and is currently working as Accelerated Value Specialist for WebSphere Commerce. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Salman. Salman, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for joining our presentation on the staging server best practices and troubleshooting common problems, and hope that you will find it useful. David, can we move to slide 2, please? So here's the agenda for today's presentation. We'll be doing a quick overview of the staging server and its setup, followed by some best practices and limitations. Then we will end with a few case studies. Slide 4, please. So the staging server is a clone of the production environment. It allows business users to make changes and test them out before making them live on production. Business users can test out a new promotion or add a new catalog item to the staging environment and review them to make sure they're ready to be seen by customers. Once you complete your testing and are comfortable with your changes, you can propagate the changes to the production environment. Slide 5, please. Stores need to be operational 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and so you cannot afford downtime for testing. The staging server minimizes this downtime. From a high-level overview of the software configuration, there isn't much of a difference in how your staging server would be configured, except that it is typically a standalone single server environment, and you can have the database on a separate server. Your staging server doesn't have to have the same number of nodes as your production. For example, a production environment may have the database on one physical system, the commerce server on another physical system, and the web server on a third system. For your staging environment, you can have all these three elements on one physical system. Slide 6, please. So on this slide, we'll be discussing the main high-level steps involved in setting up a staging server. The staging server should be hosted on a separate system or system partition from the production. When you install WebSphere Commerce, you should use the custom installation option. When creating the instance, you must ensure that you select the Use Staging Server checkbox. Now, some customers have customized database schemas, and in some cases, you want to stage these tables. If you want to do that, you need to enable the custom tables for staging. Steps to do these are available in the Info Center. To be able to communicate with the production server, you must also make sure that you've configured the database so you can access it from so you can access production from the staging server. Slide 7, please. Ideally, your staging server should be created before production. However, in some cases, the decision to create your staging server is taken after the production is already live. So in this case, the staging copy utility, which we will be discussing later in the presentation, can be used in a combination with a few other steps to set up your staging environment. IBM recommends the following approach. Create your store and assets on your staging environment, and then test the store functionality. Once you're ready, you can propagate production-ready data from staging to the production server. Then you will also need to deploy the store assets, such as your JSPs and HTMLs and image files, to the production server. slide number 8, please. So on this slide, we'll talk about the data that the staging server manages. The data is divided into two types: configuration data, such as that stored in your store and catalog tables, and then there's operational data, which has to do with customer information and order information. The staging server only manages the configuration data. It does not manage operational data or non-managed files. For non-managed files, you must manually copy them from staging to production. This can be done using the WebSphere application server deployment utilities. It's important to ensure that the tables managed by the staging server do not contain foreign key references to operational tables. Otherwise, the propagation could fail due to potential primary key deletion from production database. Slide 9, please. So this slide discusses the delta capturing function used to identify changes made to the staging database that should later be propagated to production. This function only identifies the changes to configuration data and not operational data, and it's a major advantage over a simple test server. The delta capturing function is made up of two parts: staging triggers and the stag lock table. For staging triggers, three staging triggers are created for each staging enabled table to capture insert, update, and delete operations. When one of the insert, update, or delete operations happen on the table, these triggers insert a row into the stag lock table for every affected row. Now, in the stag lock table, triggers log the data changes which are read during propagation. So the row inserted into the stag lock table includes table name and the values and columns of the primary key of the row affected, along with the operation type. Can we move to slide 10, please? So the changes to the configuration data are stored in three different tables, depending on their type. The three types here: the site, merchant, and mixed. So it's quite self-explanatory in this table here. Site changes will be stored in the STG site table, and merchant tables or merchant or store-related changes are stored in the STG mertap table. Sometimes you might want to propagate only site changes, such as when you're adding a new tax to your site. So identifying the scope of each table can help you in this task, and there is a scope flag in the staging prop utility that can be used to do this. If you have custom tables and you want to stage them, there are two steps you need to follow. You need to add them to the relevant table, so one of the tables in the third column up right above. And then you need to create database triggers to record changes to custom tables as a stag lock table. Slide 11, please. Here we describe the three main staging server utilities. Staging copies configuration data from production to production-ready data on the staging server. It's mainly used when you're creating a new staging server or to recover from a corrupted staging server database. Its main purpose is to ensure that the database are synchronized. Staging prop consolidates the change data from production-ready database, and then it retrieves all the unprocessed stag log records and propagates them to the production server. The main advantages of using staging prop are that you can verify changes in the staging environment. Business users don't have direct access to production, so you can mitigate security issues, and you can also target your propagation at low traffic times. File prop propagates all change files to the production server. It can also be invoked as a part of the staging prop utility. However, if you only want to publish managed files to the production server, you should just use the file prop utility. Slide 12, please. This slide displays the visual flow of the three utilities used to exchange data between the staging server and the production server. The most commonly used utility is staging prop utility. Staging copy isn't very commonly used. As mentioned in the previous slide, it's only used mainly when you're setting up a new server or when your staging is out of sync with production. Slide 13, please. That ends the overview part of the presentation. Now we'll be discussing some best practices for the staging server. I'll pass the presentation over to my colleague, Musi.
Thank you.
In this presentation, I'm going to be talking about some of the best practices our customers must follow. Slides 14, please. In this slide, I'll talk about the recent performance enhancements added to the StageProp utility. A fix has been added to the StageProp utility for additional performance enhancements and better error handling. This fix is included in APAR JR42158 and is composed of the following features. The code is able to execute better optimized SQL. It is also able to run much faster during the consolidation phase when analyzing the stag log table. And lastly, the StageProp log is also improved for better troubleshooting. This APAR is included in Westview Commerce version 7 Fixed Pack 6, which was released recently. The link below directs you to where you can download this fix. Within the next slides, I'll talk more about these enhancements added in detail. Slide 15, please. With regards to the performance improvements, with this fix installed, the database input and output operations are reduced by increasing the number of records fetched at a time. The main table we use when executing staging product utility is the table stag log. Within this fix, database indexes are added to this table to improve the fetch performance. Once this fix is installed, the performance should be about 3 to 4 times better than normal. This is according to the IBM internal testing that we have done. Slide 16, please. Normally, when StageProp is executed, we could terminate if there are database-related errors. For example, if you delete an entry and try to update that entry afterwards, it could cause a database error since the entry does not exist in the system anymore. And same goes if you have deletion followed by deletion, insertion followed by insertion, and update followed by insertion. Under emergency cases, some users may choose to tolerate these type of errors. For example, if a client is going live and needs to propagate data over, despite a number of small errors, under this circumstances, you could use the option action on error flag to skip over such errors and complete the stage prop regardless. The action on error flag has the following options when used on a command line. Zero indicates off. And when you use 1, the error is tolerated during the propagation phase only. And for option 2, error is tolerated during the both consolidation and propagation phase. Generally, if you want to tolerate error, we recommend that you use the option 2. A scenario where you could use the option 2 would be in a database environment where the production environment is not completely in sync with the staging environment. In such cases, you may have some new defined database entries on production, which does not exist in staging environment, or vice versa. Hence, we may have a SQL conflict during the consolidation and propagation phases. Slide 17, please. If an action on error support is used, the stage process column of the stag log table is updated based on the database operation that failed. Normally, stage process column is set to 0 or 1, depending on whether the entries have been propagated, which is 0 if it is unprocessed and 1 if it is processed. For example, if an operation is failing due to a reason that the deletion operation is running for a non-existent database entry, then we could mark the STG process column using -1. And same goes if there are other tolerable errors, such as an update, which we mark as -2, and insert as -3. Once StageProp completes and the log shows that there are errors encountered, it's recommended that the IT staff should examine the stag log record, which has the above negative values, troubleshoot why such errors happened. And if the issue is understood, a preventive measure should be taken so that these errors do not happen anymore. Slide 18, please. Within this fix, StageProp log is improved with a summary report, which includes the number of records processed examined in total and also by table. It also includes a breakdown summary report, which shows how many of these table operations are insert, SQL, update SQL, or delete. This improved logging will help the IT staff to produce a metrics or statistics, which they could use to measure the impact of their business users' output during the staging process. The log also comes with a unique exit code depending on how the StageProp utility terminates at the end. If, say, we run stage prep using a scheduled drop. If this drop encounters a database connection error due to a reason that there isn't enough connection pool available, we could use a unique code exit that displays in the stage prep utility to place a code wrapper within the script that executes this drop to rerun the stage prep after some wait time, or you could just wait until the connection pool is available and rerun it. Slide 19, please. The following slide shows you a screenshot of what stage prep log summary looks like at the end of the stage prep log. In this screenshot, we have a summary of the consolidation phase. The consolidation phase is used to remove unnecessary SQLs and to better optimize the list of SQLs generated in the stag log table before propagating the data. On the top, we have the overall summary. The column retrieved shows the amount of time required to receive values from the stag table. The column examined shows the time taken to fetch the records. Below that, we have a breakdown of each table within the time it took to run. For retained column, it shows the number of operations reduced during the consolidation phase. For the consolidation column, it shows the number of records consolidated. In this example, nothing is consolidated, so we have value 0 for the consolidated column. As an example, if we have a value of 3 for examined, where we have an update followed by an update, then a delete, the retained value would be 1 since we ignored the two updates that that happened at the beginning, and thus the consolidated value would be 2. So the examined column value should be equal to the retained value added to the consolidation value. Slide 20, please. And this screenshot, it's pretty much a continuation of the log from the previous slide. Here we have the propagation phase defined in detail. We have a breakdown of the all tables and the time it took to propagate the records in production environment. We also show the number of insert, update, and delete operations along with the errors that we encountered and tolerated during the stage prep phase. At the bottom, we have the total time it took to propagate all the data. The above statistics are very useful for IT staff to measure the impact of their daily changes added to the staging server. In the next slide, we have Salman who will talk about the best practices to follow when staging prep is used.
Thanks, Musa. So this slide will discuss the two staging prop parameters that can be used to improve performance. IBM encourages clients to use a combination of the batch size and transaction size parameters for improved performance. The batch size parameter specifies the number of consolidated records to include in one batch. By default, the batch size value is set to 100. If the staging prop utility fails, a batch size of 100 isn't very useful in determining the record causing the failure, because the error message may not point to the actual failing record. If the staging prop does fail, we recommend clients to change the batch size to 0, and setting batch size to 0 turns off the JDBC batching and will help you identify the exact records that are causing the error. Now, the transaction parameter specifies the number of changes before a commit is done to the production database. If you do not specify this parameter, change logs are committed as a single transaction. Each transaction consists of multiple batches, which are committed when transaction count is reached or exceeded. Slide 22, please. So here's a diagram that visualizes the relationship between the batch size and transaction parameters. For example, if your transaction size is set to 100 and batch size is 30, changes to production are committed every 4 batches. The recommended ratio for batch size to transaction size is 1:10. If you're running into general performance issues, consider using larger values for batch size and transaction size. The optimal values for IBM internal testing were 100,000 and 1 million for batch size and transaction parameters, respectively. Now, the JVM heap may also need to be tweaked if a large batch size is used. However, keep in mind that the larger the batch size, the bigger the heap required to hold SQL statements in memory before a commit is performed. Can we move to slide 22, please? So I'll pass this on to Roy now. He'll be taking you through this slide.
Okay, thank you, Summer. So we should be on slide 23. In this slide, I'm going to talk about how you can do regular maintenance on staging environments. As your users in your company use staging environments, more and more data will be accumulated in staging environments. At a point that you really want to clean up the data to maintain good performance. There are two types of maintenance that you may want to do on staging environments. The first one will be on the stat log table. For example, the triggers on the database at the staging environment will put data on the stat log table as the user is configuring, adding, deleting, updating on the configuration data. DBpin supports an option to pin stat log table, and I have put a link on deleting stage object from the information centers. The second kind of cleanup that you may want to do is to reduce the size for obsolete configuration data. But you have to do it carefully because without doing it properly, you may cause a problem. And that problem, I'm going to discuss it in one of the case studies later on in this presentation. But the things I would like to remind everybody is you may have to follow a set of procedure. For example, you have to remove the triggers on the staging database before doing a DB cleanup. And then do a DB cleanup. After it's finished, then add better triggers to the staging database. We do have SQL statements available that you can use to jump triggers and add better triggers. For step-by-step instructions, you can follow a tag note named process to run the database cleanup utility on a production system with associated staging systems. So moving on to slide 24. To move on, we're going to discuss a few limitations in staging environments. In our information center page, we do have a detailed page on different limitations, but we're going to pick three of the limitations in these presentations where we can explore how you should be aware of when you're using a staging environment. So moving on slide 25. Staging operations are meant to deal with operation data, such as users, orders, payments, and message. So when you handle content data such as promotion and organization, you have to be aware about the implication of members, because member ID of staging table should be organization and member groups and should not be a user. The member ID should be -2001 or 0. Moving on to slide 26. With these limitations, what it implies is that when you use staging copy, anything that may have associated with a particular user may cause the staging copy to fail because such a user may not exist on the staging environment. And because of that, you may have to be aware that when you do a staging copy, some of the data may not be sit on member rel table, member group member table, and member role table. Now you have two options to resolve these issues. One is, after you're doing a staging copy, you can reset the correct organization for the user affected by re-adding those to inside the org admin console. The second option is, before you're doing a staging copy, back up those tables. And after you finish the staging copy, we import those data back to the staging environment. So this covers the first limitations. Moving on to slide 27. In this slide, I'm going to talk about a limitation about staging propagations when there's a unique constraint on a supplementary key denoted by PK in this slide, and when there's a swapping or circular swapping scenario happening. So I divide this slide into two parts. One part on the right-hand side is when the batch size equals 0, and the left-hand side is when the batch size is greater than 0. There are multiple steps involved, and I order them from top to bottom. So I start with the one on the left. On step one, you can see that the staging server and production server has their table in sync. Specifically, PK1 and PK2 have the same value, A and B correspondingly. On step two, moving down to the middle, you can see the user has updated the PK1 with a value of B and PK2 with a value of A, and we call this a swapping scenario. At the bottom, on step number three, when staging propagation is done, the staging propagation will copy the value in the staging environment, PK1, from A to B. Now, because of the unique constraint, the staging propagation will fail, because PK1 and PK2 on the productions at this step pass the same value. Now this will happen when batch size is greater than zero. We're going to discover the story when you set the batch size equal to zero. And in this case, commerce can make advantage of a feature called temporary placeholder. Notice that this feature is transparent and you should not be able to see it, but I want to cover it so that you gain the knowledge about what happens on a unique constraint when you have a swapping scenario. So I will begin in step number 3, because step number 1 and step number 2 on the right-hand side are the same as the one on the left-hand side. So step number 3, when the user is doing a staging propagation, instead of directly copy the value of A on the staging environment to B to PK1 on the production server, it will copy a temporary holder denoted as WC underscore dot dot dot. And the same thing for PK2 with a unique different value of WC underscore dot dot dot. In this case, the unique constraint will not be violated. Step number 4, the staging propagation will recover the temporary holder to the original or to the value that it should be copied to. In this case, PK1 will have the WC underscore dot 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 copied as B and A correspondingly for PK2. So this could be handled by using a temporary placeholder, and this is enabled only when you have batch size equal to zero. Now these limitations apply for anything before fixed patch 6. 7006, this limitation is no longer applied because it with an enhancement that has been included. So the circular swapping scenario can be handled no matter what value you use for the batch size. So this covers the second limitations of this presentation. Moving on to slide 28. Staging propagation does not support updating primary keys. When you update a primary key, it has many implications. For example, when you update a primary key, you can delete or affect all the following relationship with all the child's roles in the child table. Colonization may fail if there's an update on primary key as well. So to ensure an update, to do an update on a primary key, we usually recommend doing a delete on the entry that you try to update, and then we insert the entry with the new value of the primary key. Notice that when you do a delete, it may cause a cascade delete on the other tables. So you have to be aware about what the delete is for. Our accelerator and management center has specific logic to handle updates of primary key using delete and insert. For more information, we do have a tech note named Unable to Propagate Update when using Westray Commerce Station Propagation Utility, where you can find more details on these limitations. Now I'll move on to case study, which begins on slide 29. In which we're going to cover some of the story or some of the, when we went through some of the PMLs, we hear different stories from our customers, and we would like to share those with you so that you are aware about when similar scenario happens, what the implications are. So moving on to slide 30. The first case study, I'm going to share a story where our customers see a staging propagation being really slow. And after the staging propagation finishes, they find orders being lost. So when we went through the PML, we found out that our customers actually run a DB clean on the staging environment on items by table. Now the items by table have relationship to order items, and when they run the DB clean, those entries deleted by item spec, the trigger will log those delete statements on the setup tables. And when the user is running the station propagations, the same delete statements is going to run on productions. Continue on slide 31. Now, because you don't have, you're not supposed to have those containers, those orders in the station environment, when dbclean is run, even though item spec is marked for delete, it will check, the DB clean will check if there's associated of item table or items entry with that item spec. If association is there, it won't do the delete. But because staging environment doesn't have those data, it will do the delete, and those when those get propagated to the production environment, the cascade delay relationship will cause a delay on orders table. And because of the cascade delay relationships, the SQL, the delay SQL will be very, very slow. And that's why you see staging propagation running very slow. And after it finished, you see order being lost. Moving on to slide 32. So that's why we have one of the best practices of regular maintenance where we recommend our customer to remove the triggers before you run a DB clean or staging environment. That ensure unnecessary deletes are locked on this set of tables. And then after you finish the DB clean, you can add the trigger back to the staging environment. The step-by-step instructions are available in the tab notes that I have put on the slide. Now I will pass the control back to someone on the further case study.
Thanks, Roy. So we're on slide 33. This slide discusses a common error experienced by users when running staging copy. The staging copy script fails with an error SQL code 964. So this happens because the database runs out of transaction space during staging copy, which manages each table in a single transaction. Now, there are two possible ways to handle this error. The first way is you can increase the DB transaction log size and try again. This usually works. If it doesn't, then we can try a different solution, which involves using the script file flag to generate an SQL script file that is run during the actual staging copy process. This script file contains SQL statements that would be run during staging copy. Now, you can review the generated script file and divide the very large operations into multiple operations, each followed by a commit. For example, we've seen staging copy hang when trying to clean a very large attribute value table. In this case, there will be a large number of delete statements against the attribute values table in the generated script file. You can break up these delete statements into multiple chunks, and each chunk would be followed by a commit so that the transaction logs can be cleared up more often. Let's move to slide 34, where I'll pass control to Musa.
In case study 2, I'll talk about an in-memory issue encountered while running StagePrep 2. If you have not run StagePrep for a long time and you have a large set of records to process, you may get an error like this. This will appear in the SAG log, in the StagePrep log at the very end. Slide 35, please. The reason why this error comes up is due to the fact that there is too much records to process. During the consolidation phase, it loads all unprocessed records in the SAG log table to the memory for analysis. If there's too much records to process, it'll take up big size objects, which leads to an out of memory error. Slide 36, please. As a solution for this issue, you could first try to increase the dedicated memory set for this tool while running. To do so, you could open up the StagePrep utility script and add the JVM argument with specified maximum runtime heap size. If there is sufficient memory available, this should allow the consolidation phase to complete without any problem. Slide 37, please. In the previous solution to increase the memory size, does not solve your problem, you could use the consolidation size to limit the number of records fetched from the database during the consolidation phase to the specified size. Consolidation size allows you to reduce the size of the object created during the consolidation phase, hence avoid the out-of-memory error. In order to use a consolidation size, you need to have Westfield Commerce version 7 Fixed Pack 3 installed. One note to consider is that if you use this parameter, it will make the overall staging process to slow down due to the reason that the consolidation phase is breaking up much more than previously. Slide 38, please. By specifying the consolidation size, we'll be able to break down the memory object associated. This will pretty much create smaller batches. As noted earlier, it will elongate the process time of the propagation. When using the consolidation size, the following behaviors apply. To get more information on this, you can refer to our Commerce Info Center. slide 39, please. Here we have reference links that we've used to create this presentation. These links are very helpful in understanding the overall how staging server works and some of the utilities that come along with it as well. Slide 40, please. As a summary of our presentation, we went over a view of the staging server, discussed the staging best practices, acknowledged some of the limitations, and also gave some case studies, and concluded with the references. This chart, in slide 41, please. And this chart includes the link to a member of our site that provides valuable online resources for Westfield Commerce products. Please visit the Westfield Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming Westfield Commerce Support Technical Exchange webcasts like the one we have done today. And we conclude our presentation. Thank you. And you can go to slide 42.
Thank you, Musa, Salman, and Roy, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to this product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know via that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Susan, we would like to open the lines for questions. Susan?
I show no questions at this time.
Thank you, Susan. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable, and we appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Musa, Salman, and Roy, for presenting today.